It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. My co-host Veronica Rickert is off today. Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll have our weekly check-in on all things Congress. First, President Obama delivered his State of the Union speech last night, his sixth since taking office. While most of the speech focused on the improving economy and reforms and policies aimed at helping the middle class, he also touched on the country's foreign policy agenda and what he says we've accomplished overseas since he took office. But our next guest says the president doesn't have much to celebrate on the foreign affairs front, and his boasts about success beyond America's borders ring hollow as conflict continues across much of the Middle East and beyond. So where does the president go from here, and what needs to happen in his remaining 2 years in office? Joining us now is Frieda Gittes. She's a foreign affairs columnist for the Miami Herald and World Politics Review and a CNN.com opinion contributor. Frieda, thanks a lot for joining us.
It's good to be with you, Rob.
So President Obama laid out some of what he said were America's foreign policy successes, but you're mostly not buying it. Why not?
No, you know, I think the president looked comfortable and satisfied last night giving his speech, and he was, you know, he had reason to be happy. The opinion polls are looking good for him. The economy is doing well. But when he started talking about foreign policy, to me, it just rang hollow. There was something about it that just simply did not ring true. Things are not going well for him and for America and really for the world.
Well, let's key in on Syria, first of all. You say this is the greatest failure of the Obama administration, specifically the lack of sufficient action against Bashar al-Assad and his Syrian regime. Can you talk some more about that as a failure of American and President Obama's foreign policy?
You know, I've been writing about this for about 4 years. When the uprising against Assad began, it was a pro-democracy movement. The United States had the opportunity to help a pro-democracy movement, and what it did was stand back, take no action, and allow other players in the Middle East to intervene and take over the fight. And now the United States is left with no good choices. Syria has turned into an absolute worst-case scenario, and it is spreading far beyond its borders. What we're seeing, what we saw in Paris in the last few days, what we've seen in Ottawa and Canada and in Australia and throughout the Middle East now, in Iraq in particular, is the result of allowing the Syrian situation to deteriorate the way it has.
Was it ever really that simple in Syria, though? Obviously, it is incredibly complicated now, but was it as easy as just providing more, arms and military support to the early rebels against the Syrian regime? Or would that have sucked us into a more complicated situation than we wanted to be involved in?
It was never simple. The Middle East is a very complicated place, and Syria is a very complicated place. But I would argue that the way things have turned out is absolutely the worst-case scenario. I think a few years ago, the United States had some good choices. There was the possibility of strengthening the one group of players in that conflict that had an ideology that was consistent with international law, that was consistent with human rights, that was consistent with pluralism, with equality for women, with freedom of religion. And now there is no one to support, and we have these horrendous choices, and we have what we saw was that the horrific situation in Syria just burst through the borders of that country into Iraq. We have a humanitarian calamity of really horrendous proportions, and we have the spreading of this ideology. And I think the United States, a few years ago, was in a good position to help one side of this conflict, and now the choices are all really, really terrible.
Well, now, as you say, the Islamic State movement, so-called, has spread Syria into Iraq. The United States is involved in bombing campaigns against ISIS. Do you think we've made up, President Obama has made up some of the lost ground with the military action against ISIS?
Well, it's made up. I wouldn't say that it's made up a whole lot of ground. I think it has slowed the deterioration of the conflict. That's about as much as you can say about it. I mean, if you look today at Iraq, the government in Baghdad does not control the country. In Syria, there is no good player, basically. We have ISIS attacks now in Paris. And let's, you know, we're not even talking about the rest of the Middle East. Just even yesterday, just a few hours before the president took the podium in Congress, we had a coup in Yemen. You know, this is just, it's just the Middle East. Big parts of the Middle East are falling apart, and the fact of the matter is that the United States may not be as dependent on Middle Eastern oil as it once was, but the Middle East remains a very important part of the world. It's ideologically the focus of a very destructive ideology, and this is just not going away. Obama would, I'm sure he would have preferred to not have to talk about foreign policy, to not have to talk about the Middle East last night, but it's just not going away. It's important, and it'll be here. It'll continue to be a problem for the rest of the Obama administration.
Now, a lot of presidents have tried and failed on various issues in the Middle East, most specifically the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. How much of this is a failure of the Obama administration, and how much of it is just constant ongoing problems in a difficult region of the world?
There's no question it's a difficult region, but the United States is a very important player in the world. It's foreign policy, foreign affairs, history is not like a chemistry lab where you can try it one way and then try the exact same scenario with a different approach and see which one works better. But the United States is an important player, and when the United States steps back, you see bad results.
What would you like to see? As you say, there are no easy choices, difficult situations in Syria and the surrounding region. What would signal to you that President Obama is moving in the right direction in his last 2 years when it comes to the Middle Eastern region?
I'd like to see the United States take a much more aggressive role in developing partnerships with moderate forces. And granted, that is much more difficult now than it would have been several years ago. That there are some Syrians that are still looking for a more moderate course, but the United States is having to start from scratch. I think this needs to be done in a much more aggressive way. We keep hearing, and again, when I say aggressive, I mean financial, training. I'm not talking about sending American troops right now. I think ISIS has to be pushed back much more aggressively. I think the Kurds need to have very, very strong support from the United States, more than they've been receiving. And, that's the Middle East. We haven't talked about the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Forgive me for deviating from your question, but we didn't hear Obama talk at all about other parts of the world, like, for example, India, where he's going next week. A key player in the world and potentially a very important partner for the United States in the decades to come.
I did want to branch out, actually, from the Middle East to other parts of the world. He did address Russia there and American sanctions and sanctions from partners and the effect they've had on Russia. What did you make of what the president had to say when it came to Russia?
Well, it was uncomfortable. I found the whole piece on Russia a little bit awkward. First of all, he was bragging about the economic problems in Russia, which, in fairness, they were not the result of his actions, but the result of low oil prices. But even talking about it that way, he seemed to be taking joy in the suffering of the Russian economy, which is probably not the most constructive way to talk about the situation. Russia is still in control of Crimea, which is legally part of Ukraine. There's still people getting killed in eastern Ukraine who are supporters of Russia. The whole approach was he was taking credit for something that he did not deserve credit for, and it was something that should not have been painted in such a boastful way. The speech is mostly designed for domestic consumption in the United States, but it is heard and reviewed, and it has an impact around the world.
A lot of president watchers point to the second term as a time when presidents tend to turn to foreign policy. Just 2 years left now in that second term. Do you think President Obama can turn things around and leave a better world behind him than it is at this point?
It's going to be tough. Obama would. Other presidents have done that, and this case may just be the exception, because he is finally getting a turnaround in the economy, in large part because of the drop in oil prices. So he's probably going to prefer to focus on what's going on domestically, where he can take credit for improving economic conditions and still blame the Republicans for obstructing his plans to attack inequality. So I think he will be more comfortable on the domestic side unless he gets a breakthrough with Iran. I just don't see how he's going to leave a very positive legacy internationally, but we can always hope. If he leaves a positive legacy internationally, that will mean that something good has happened for the world and for America, so we should all hope that that's what happens.
Frida, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Frieda Gittes. She's foreign affairs columnist for the Miami Herald and World Politics Review and a CNN.com opinion contributor.